Scripture tonight will be from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave his talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and turned with them, and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground. He hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought the five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, Well done, good and faithful servant. You will make your rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents, and look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will also make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with the interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, good evening. Good to be back together again this evening. Really enjoying this early spring weather. I shouldn't talk like that because that always leads to trouble. But it's been a beautiful day, and we're thankful for that, and thankful that we have a little better weather to travel in and a little more daylight. It certainly lifts our spirits, if nothing else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, when speaking of Christians, Paul said, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Bible refers to our relationship and responsibility toward God as stewardship. We are to be faithful stewards. What exactly is a steward? Certainly it was a more familiar concept to those in Jesus' day than it is today, because the people to whom Paul was speaking here knew what a steward was. As a matter of fact, some of them may have even been serving in that capacity. The New Testament word steward comes from the Greek word oikonomos. Thayer's Lexicon of New Testament Words translates this word as a manager of a household, or household affairs, a steward, a manager, a superintendent. A steward was a manager of a household of another. The things that the oversaw did not belong to him, but rather they belonged to the master. In most cases, stewards were simply a a trusted slave of their owner. A good Old Testament example of stewardship is that of Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers as just a lad of 17 into Egyptian slavery. He became there the possession of a certain man by the name of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was impressed because Joseph was intelligent. He was hardworking and honest, and everything that he did seemed to prosper. So Potiphar made him the steward or overseer of his household. In Genesis 39, verses 4 and 5, we read, "And it came to pass that he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hands." There are three characteristics about stewardship that we must understand if we are going to be faithful stewards of the Lord. First of all, a steward has the possessions of another placed in his hands and under his control. As we saw with Joseph, Potiphar put everything he had under Joseph's control. That doesn't mean that Joseph owned these things. A steward never owned the things that he possessed. Ownership always remained with the master. Secondly, the steward was made the administrator of these possessions. He was to use these things in such a way to bring maximum profit to their owner. Reading from Genesis 39, verses 5 and 6, "He made him overseer of his house and all that he had. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not anything that he had, only the bread that he ate. And Joseph was a godly person." That's how much trust a master placed in his steward. So much that his possessions and how they were used was totally up to them. Potiphar did not know a thing about the day-to-day administration of his wealth. The only thing that he knew was the food that he had on his table. A third aspect of stewardship is that in the end there was an accounting that had to be made. Each steward had to show what he had used the wealth entrusted with him, that it had been used wisely in a way that would bring the greatest benefit to the master. All of these characteristics are so clearly represented in the parable of the talents that we have read together this evening from Matthew the 25th chapter. First of all, we saw where the master went away for a time, putting his possessions in the hands of his servants. One servant received 5 talents, another received 2 talents, and the third was received 1 talent. He gave each servant the amount that he felt that they could handle, but the talents still belonged to the master. Even though the servants possessed these talents, there's no indication that they ever thought for a moment that these talents were theirs to keep. Secondly, we saw where the talents were to be used for the master's benefit. And so the 5 and the 2 talent servants bought and traded, made a profit to be able to present to their master. The 1 talent servant was not a faithful steward. He didn't try to steal the talent for himself. He simply failed to use it for his master. And thirdly, we see where a day of accounting, a day of reckoning came. And each servant, each steward had to show what he had done with the talents that the master had entrusted him with. The faithful stewards gave the master back that which had been given to them with an increase. The 1 talent steward had to admit that he had not used that which the master had entrusted him with. The master called him wicked and lazy and cast him out to be punished. Now, what does all this have to do with you and me? Well, we are to be the faithful stewards of God. These same 3 characteristics apply to our stewardship. We too have in our possession that which belongs to another. In fact, everything that we possess belongs to our master. Everything that we possess belongs to to God. One of the mistakes that many people make in their thinking is that we can own anything. You know, men will buy up a lot of land and build a fence around it, and they will say, this is my land. As David said in Psalm 49 and verse 11, they call their lands after their own names. But while that land may be in their possession for a while, it doesn't belong to them. We read in Leviticus 25 and verse 23, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God told the Israelites, the land is mine, for you are strangers and pilgrims. He goes even beyond that by saying in Psalm 50, verses 10 and 11, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field, and they are mine. Even the money that we labor for and hoard and cherish is not ours to keep. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, we read, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith Jehovah of hosts. In Job chapter 41 and verse 11, we read that whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Well, how can God claim that everything that exists in heaven and on earth is His? Well, He can claim these things because He created them. They are His because He sustains their life. We can't name a single thing that we possess that would be ours if it were not for the grace of God. We may work very hard and save our money so that we can buy the house that we live in. But who made that possible? Who gave us the mentality or the health to even work a job? Who made it possible for us to live in a country where men have the freedom to earn money and to live where they desire? As a matter of fact, who made it possible for us to live in the first place? Paul said, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Everything that we have is a gift. Everything that we have is by the grace of God. Now, some may admit that God has given us all that we have, but may not think that God has given us what God has given us is ours to keep, but it's not. We may possess some land and some money and some material things, but when we die, and we will die, what becomes of them, of these things then? How many of the things which we have in this life will we be able to take with us when this life is over? Certainly none of them. Now, we've all seen the cankered jewels and rusted gold in the graves of Indians and Egyptian pharaohs and others who believe that they can bury something with them and be prepared to have these things in the next life. But those things are not things that can be taken with them. They sit and they collect dust. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, Paul said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Where does it all revert? It all reverts back to its owner. It all reverts back to God. As stewards, we are in possession of that which belongs to another. Secondly, as stewards, we have also been entrusted to use our possessions for the benefit of the master. When God gives us wealth, He expects it to be used, certainly for the welfare of ourselves and of our families, but He has also given us the responsibility to feed the hungry and clothe the poor. He has entrusted us with a share to share the gospel with the lost. All of these things take money, and money which we have in our possession, which He has provided, and He has given us these things. He has lent us these things. These things belong to Him. Are we using these things for His benefit? Are we spending that which belongs to another for our own selfish desires? Whatever we possess, it belongs to God, whether it be our talent, our influence, our opportunities. We are stewards, and we must use these things to the benefit of our master. Thirdly, as stewards, we also know that the time of reckoning will come. When we will stand before the throne of God, and as John says in Revelation, the books will be opened. And we will give an account unto God. And that is when the Lord will say, what about all of those blessings that I have put into your hands? How have they been used? Have they been used to my name's honor and glory? Have they been used? Have we used them well? Will he say to us, enter in, thou good and faithful servant? If we have wasted them or used them selfishly, he will say, to depart, you wicked and slothful servant. Most of the time when we talk about stewardship, we talk about the stewardship of our wealth. While wealth is certainly one possession which we must all use wisely, there are many other blessings that we have, that we have been entrusted with, that are just as important when it comes to our stewardship to the Lord. As Christians, we are to be faithful stewards of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Paul refers to the gospel as a treasure in earthen vessels. We know what a great blessing God has given to us when he gave us his word. He has given us that knowledge which will say is able to save our souls. But have we thought about what a tremendous responsibility that comes with that? The gospel is God's power unto salvation. If someone is lost and we do not take the saving message of the gospel to them, then we share in the responsibility of their condemnation. If we, whether it be by ignorance or intent, teach things that are wrong and mislead others into thinking that they are saved when in reality they are lost, then again we bear in the burden of their being lost. So we can't have a casual attitude toward the Scriptures. We are commanded to study them, to search them, to rightly divide them. Peter says that no Scripture is of any private interpretation. And if any man speaks, he must speak as the oracles of God. There's no way that we can faithfully serve God and remain ignorant of His Word. God has entrusted the gospel into our hands. Whether it is one who needs to hear that needs to be saved, God expects us to be there to show whether someone is teaching false doctrine or they are teaching the truth. It is our responsibility as a steward or as a keeper of God's word. As Christians, we must also be faithful stewards of the Lord's church. One of the allegories or word pictures that is given of the New Testament church is that it is the bride of Christ. More accurately, we would have to say it is the bride in waiting. The church is engaged, so to speak, to Jesus. One day Jesus is coming to take his bride, the church, home to be with him in heaven. And when he does, he will expect his bride, the church, to be free, be pure, without spot or without blemish. In ancient times, when marriages were arranged, sometimes years in advance, often the bride was placed within the care of an overseer until she reached a proper age to marry. What a tremendous failure, what a tremendous breach of trust that would be if that bride were to lose her innocence and purity under the oversight of the steward. Well, we have the same stewardship responsibility in our relationship to the bride of Christ, the church. Paul was concerned for the church at Corinth that was growing so worldly. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, he said, "For I have espoused you unto a husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ." Paul was concerned that while under his oversight, that the church would lose its identity. We need to have the same concern today. We must always remember that the church belongs to the Lord and not to man. Our purpose is to do what he says to do and to do it the way that he says to do it, so that when he comes again, he will be pleased to own us as his own. What would Jesus find today if he were to come to receive his bride. Would he find a people who have kept their purity by separating themselves from all things worldly? Or would he find that his bride had become worldly, committing spiritual adultery by being married unto him, but holding on to the world and their love of the world? In James chapter 4 and verse 4, James said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Will he find a people whose greatest concern is for doing his work of saving the lost, of meeting the needs of the downtrodden? Or will he find that his bride has become a socialite, only interested in itself, content to eat and to drink and make merry, while the world around us is dying outside of Christ? What a tremendous responsibility the Lord has entrusted us with by putting the church within our oversight. As faithful stewards, we must do all that we can to keep it free from worldliness and to keep it on course, doing what the Lord has left us here to do, to save the lost, to glorify God, and to serve others. Thirdly, as Christians, we are also to be good stewards of our talents. Thomas Carlyle, a great British author, once said, "There are two main questions in life which every man must answer. The first one is, what talents has God placed within me? Secondly, what am I doing, or how am I utilizing what God has given me?" It seems as if whenever we talk about talents in the church, most of us think about what we are doing here in the public worship assembly. And so if somebody can participate in leading the public worship, whether they can preach or teach or lead in the singing or whatever it is, we say, well, they have talents, and they should use those talents to serve the Lord in the church. Certainly the worship assembly is just one aspect of our Christian lives, a part which involves only a few hours each week. We are to serve the Lord daily. And God has given each of us talents with which to do so. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, Paul said, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Notice Paul refers to our abilities, our talents, as gifts. The only reason that we can do the things that we can do is because God makes it possible. So whatever talents we have, they have been given to us to use in His service. And we must be faithful stewards in using our gifts and using our talents. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, we read, "As every man has received the gift, even so administer one to another, do good, be good stewards of the manifold grace of God." In Romans chapter 12, Paul goes on to enumerate those God-given abilities. Yes, he mentions things such as teaching and prophesying, but he also mentions things such as that are daily Christian activities, such as encouraging our brethren, generosity, showing mercy, cheerfulness. Have you ever heard someone ask, "What is my talent?" Have you ever heard someone who was told, "You know, your talent, your gift to the congregation here is that you are a person who is cheerful. You are a person who is encouraging." And there is nothing that provides a greater service in strengthening the church than somebody who has the kind of attitude that the Lord would have us to have. We need brothers and sisters in Christ who show mercy, who have a heart of forgiveness, who show generosity. These certainly are talents that are God-given and talents that are needed. And so you have special gifts and abilities. Maybe it's an outgoing personality. Maybe your gift is a good logical mind, or the ability to operate a business, or to cook, or to drive a car, or to fix things that break. You know, a lot of times we have difficulty seeing these things as a gift from God, and yet the fact of the matter is there are some individuals that have these gifts and some who don't. And they are such a blessing to the congregation when we use the gifts that we have to serve the Lord. When we use the gifts that God has given us to strengthen the church. As the steward of these talents, we must find ways of using them that will bring glory to God. And one day, we'll be called before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. We will answer to God for the attitude that we have had toward the work and worship of His church. We will give an account for all the opportunities that we have had to serve or to teach others and have either done so or have failed. God will want to know how we have put the wealth and the talents that He has blessed us with into His service. So what does God expect from us in this life? It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, some people will find this a grievous burden to be borne. There are some that don't want to give God the basis of their life as service. They don't want to give God their time, their money, their talents. But there are others who find giving to God as a great source of joy. What is the difference? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul spoke of the Macedonian Christians who gave, and they gave very generously. They gave more than it was anticipated they would give because they themselves were poor. But when they begged for an opportunity to give, they gave far beyond their ability. Well, why did they so excel as stewards? Well, we are told in verse 5, that they first gave themselves to the Lord. And if we truly give ourselves to the Lord, then we'll have no desire to hold back anything else. And so are we being faithful stewards? Are we using the talents and the gifts and the opportunities and the blessings that God has bestowed on all of us? Are we using them to build up His church? Are we using them to seek and to save the lost? Are we doing them to let our good works be seen by men so that they will glorify our Father who is in heaven? Are we a people who are zealous of good works? All of these things make us faithful stewards, and we will be rewarded for serving the Lord as we have. So what a blessing it is to be blessed by God. We need to realize that the reason that God has blessed us is so that we can be of service to Him. Tonight may be that someone in our assembly desires to respond to the invitation of our Lord. And we'll be singing an invitation hymn at this time. And as we examine ourselves and examine our lives, if there is anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, we would encourage you to do that while together we stand and while we sing.